on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook.
The Sportscast. Expect the unexpected.
The update presented by The Sportscast.
Cast May 13th, 2024. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, X, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can visit our website, thesportscast.net. Also, follow us on X and Instagram at thesportscast1. And check out our app, The Sportscast for iOS. NBA playoffs weekend is getting closer. A lot of these series are getting way closer than we thought. And, of course, all eyes are on Tottenham to stop the behemoth Man City. And join us all the way from the Northeast, Hal Phillips, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hey, Santi. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. How was your Mother's Day's weekend?
It was fun. I got some yard work done. I went to a graduation party. Nice. Feels like spring, sort of. And yeah, bring it on. We want more fully fledged spring Sundays to come.
It's getting warm down here, but I heard up north is a little bit cooler still, right? Is that the case?
Yeah. After such a warm winter, we were expecting a more full-on spring. It hasn't happened, but it hasn't been that wet, and you can golf, and that's all that matters.
All right. Before we start, we have a word from our sponsors.
In the rhythm of life, every tick of the clock holds a story. But how do we make every moment count? Meet Start Time, the simplest way to log, track, and optimize your time right at your fingertips. Start Time is designed for simplicity. With just a tap, begin logging any activity. And when you're done, hit stop. It's that easy. Wherever you are, Start Time knows. Our location detection feature automatically tags your logs, giving context to every second spent. Keep your day in perspective with a log tab. Every task, every moment, neatly organized and easy to review. Log, track, and optimize your time with a tap. Ready to make every moment count? Start with Start Time. Available now for iOS.
Start Time, get it for iOS App Store. The Denver Nuggets and the Timberwolves are tied 2-2. How no team has won at home yet. Game four, Jokic had 16 of his 35 points in the fourth quarter, and Aaron Gordon had 27 points, 11 for 12. But and then the Nuggets are 2-2 with Minnesota. I thought Minnesota were going to win everything. They were the favorites to win the NBA championships. Now I am guessing all this now.
Well, you are part of the problem, Santi. Everyone just went crazy calling this the finest, you know, defensive team in the NBA, in the playoffs of all time, or one of the top five. I heard Bill Simmons going off about this after two games in a series when clearly the Nuggets were just discombobulated. But the worst thing that the Timberwolves did was embarrass Denver in game two, because man, what a couple of performances they turned in the Twin Cities. Really fascinating couple of days on multiple playoff fronts, but nothing better than this matchup. Denver was just spectacular and pissed. And oh, by the way, they did not miss yesterday. I think they shot 58% from the floor. Aaron Gordon was incredible. I think he was 11 for 12. I mean, he just made everything. And, you know, they won it by 6 or 7 points, and they the Timberwolves missed a bunch of free throws. They could have been in this game, but they never really got that close until the very end. So, I mean, the good news is we're 2-2. We go back and start over again. It's a best of three.
Do you think Denver will be the first home team to win in this series?
I sort of feel like now that they've gotten it out of their systems, Denver will win. And then Minnesota will win back home. because I think they felt they could have won yesterday's game. They just didn't have any help for the Ant-Man on the offensive side. We can get to that. But I think we're looking at a game seven. I think things will revert to a little bit more form. The longer it goes, the worse it is for the Timberwolves. They're just younger and less experienced team. And Denver clearly just had a bad week. And now they're back in form and showing off a deeper bench, frankly, than they did last year when they won it all. I don't think they played a team as good as the Timberwolves in the entirety of the 2023 playoffs. This year, there's no such luxury, and we're all the better for it because we get to watch.
Ant-Man, as Hal mentioned, had 44 points. Karl-Anthony Towns had 13 points. Mike Conley had 15. Jayden McDaniels had 11 points, double digits, but not enough to beat the Nuggets, though.
No, and I think that if Cat had 25 points, this is a different game. But he was sort of taken out of his rhythm. What a strange player he is. He really is, isn't he?
He might be traded out, I heard.
He does some incredibly stupid things on the basketball court still. He sort of gets it in his head that he's going to jump up and play, you know, close up defense 50 feet from the basket, takes meaningless fouls. Also gets the ball down low and just he's going to be hell-bent for leather going at the rim, and whether the opportunity is there or not. He had one example late in the game where he went to the basket, had Gobert open for a dunk, but tried to draw a foul, and it blew up in his face. He's just not a good critical thinker when it comes to basketball. You know, it doesn't seem. But he has moments of brilliance. They need him to be better. They need one more scoring option, and he's the guy. If they don't get it from him, I'm not sure where they're going to get it, because Gobert does a lot of incredibly valuable things, including beat on Jokic for 40 minutes. But Cat's got to score, and if he doesn't, I think what we have learned is that the Ant-Man can't carry them. He can't go for 40 and win the game anymore.
It's not enough to be the Michael Jordan in that team. Let's look at the Denver. Aaron Gordon, 27 points. Jokic, 35. Jamal Murray, 19. Christian Braun, 11 points. Justin Holiday, 10 points. But this Aaron Gordon guy has been making some he's been getting some eyeballs, hasn't he?
Well, he's done. Look, he's been brilliant the last 2 years. And what I don't think any of us realized when he was in Orlando and a nice player, a nice 18-10 guy, was just how good a critical thinker he is. He's got basketball IQ, whereas Cat is still working on his. Gordon handles the ball. When Jamal Murray was having trouble getting the ball over midcourt because of the pressure that the Timberwolves put on him, Coach Mike Malone shifted things and let Aaron Gordon bring it up because Cat can't guard him there. They don't want Gobert guarding him out there. It was very smart, but he can handle it. He makes great decisions. He is big and strong, so he'll get in there and bang and take alley-oop dunks, but then pull up from three and make those too. But just generally, if you look at the game last night, they are using more of a bench than they did all of last year. Wow. They're using Aaron Holiday, you know, the third Holiday brother. Christian Braun played last year, but I thought he was even more impressive last night. And in the series, he's growing into his role. They're playing this guy, Prentice Watson. Didn't see as much time in last night's game, but they're, you know, stretching their bench out a little bit, and that's pretty impressive. I mean, they only played seven guys all last year.
Wow.
They're really in trouble. Reggie Jackson is another guard that they've been running off the bench, but not many big guys. They really don't run that many guys in there. They really don't have a single guy that they bring a big off the bench, which is
who's Jokic's backup.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen him.
I don't think so. I don't think he's around.
Well, they just play Gordon at the five. And they play Michael Porter at the four with him. So they're not tiny. They're both 6'10". But, geez, they're nowhere near as big as the Timberwolves are. I heard a really interesting take from a fellow named Ethan Strauss who said, you know what? The new rule changes that were put in by the NBA sort of very quietly after the All-Star game and All of a sudden, people aren't scoring 50 and winning games 140 to 135 anymore. That happened before the playoffs started. And now, of course, we're seeing a playoff with the same rules in place. And what he pointed out, and I think it's true, is that we don't really know who's good anymore because these rules are so different. I mean, Jamal Murray looked completely flummoxed and pissed in the first two games of this series, having to deal with the clutch and grab sort of 90s style defense that the Wolves were playing against him. And I think it's great. I think it had definitely tipped too far the other way. But I mean, the question everyone asked last week when they were down 2-0 was, geez, I mean, is Jamal Murray the same player? That under these conditions, can he shake a guy and still make, you know, threes and distribute and play the pick and roll with Jokic in the same way? Now we can definitively say, yes, he can. But it took him 2 games to figure it out, and they looked awful unhappy in the meantime. Now we're, you know, in a situation where I think they know what to expect, and I think they should be favored to win. I never went so far as you, Santi. I never thought that they would go down, you know, lose 4 straight games. I thought it was possible they might have to split and maybe have to go back and win and then come back and win in Minnesota. Now they're back on home court, and I can see this going 7 very easily because I think there will be adjustments from the Wolves as well.
Now, would you say Jamal Murray is that number 2 Scottie Pippen role? Is he playing for the Nuggets, or it's not that type of role?
He's not as defensively gifted as Scottie Pippen. He is the number 2 guy on this team. And, you know, one of the things that makes Jokic so great is that he's so generous with Jamal Murray. He calls him the best player on the team, calls him the most important player on the team. And, you know, I don't think that's true, but he is extremely important. No one does what he does. Reggie Jackson and Aaron Holiday can't come off the bench and do what Jamal Murray does. And he's been brilliant in Minnesota in this series. I don't know what he shot yesterday, but he hardly missed. He wasn't 11 for 12 like Gordon was, but he was very good. He didn't turn the ball over under duress. And basically it was a big F you to not just the Timberwolves, but to everybody who was sort of picking on the Nuggets for being a paper tiger in these playoffs. They have reestablished themselves as the odds on favorite in my book, because I never doubted that they would come back and make this a series. But we'll see what happens. I can't wait to watch game 5. It's going to be fascinating.
You know, the last time I heard a big guy say one of their guards was the best player was Shaquille O'Neal to Kobe Bryant.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things that you do in a team. You're trying to pump up, especially if there's press. You know, I mean, it's a high school team. No one cares. But even within the team, you know, you have to pump everybody up even at a high school level. They have to know that they're important. But in a pro context, it's even more vital because, you know, everyone's just heaping praise on Jokic. Jamal Murray is an all-star guard, and they don't win without him. So I give Jokic, you know, credit for knowing that and being savvy enough to lay it on thick and deflect, you know, and give his all-star teammate their due. It's such an interesting team the way it's been constructed. And like you, I look and I'm saying, well, what are they going to do when Jokic has to go out? I mean, the Wolves are so big. I mean, they bring Nas, they bring a 7-footer off the bench who can play inside and out. They seem to be more versatile. And our boy McDaniels is 6'10" and could play the 4 if he had to. But the Nuggets have figured out how to deal with it for now.
We'll see what happens with the Nuggets. They got home court advantage again, game 5. We'll see who will be the first team to win home because no one has yet. I've seen this before. I think a year ago, there's another series that was just like this. I can't remember which one it was. It might have been
the Nuggets. Was it the Clippers and the Nuggets?
It might have been. No one. I think I can't it was. Remember. It was an interesting series. No one won home. Everyone went away. Which is hard to do.
Jumping back and forth from the NHL playoffs to the NBA playoffs, like I am. That's usually something that happens in the NHL playoffs quite a lot, you know.
You were saying that. Home rink doesn't really count much.
Home court in the NBA is the strongest home court there is in American professional sports, home field advantage. But so far in these playoffs, the two best teams, Denver, you know, lost the first 2 games at home to a team, and the Celtics have lost their first home game to they lost game two to both
Cleveland and the Heat
and the Cavaliers. And then they go into game three. They won both games in Miami, which I think showed a lot. And then they went to Cleveland and won game three. And now they're playing tonight, and I think they'll win again. So it's interesting how it goes down in the NBA.
Interesting. Okay, another horrible game yesterday, I thought. It was the Pacers demolishing the Knicks, 121-89. Pretty much the Pacers won the first quarter. Pacers had as many as 43 points, Hal, over the course of the contest. The 32-point win is Indiana's third biggest playoff victory ever. Tyrese Haliburton, which you see in the image on the video, led the team in scoring with 20 points. Five other players scored in double digits, including T.J. McConnell, who recorded 15 points and 10 assists off the bench. He was a star yesterday. But the Knicks look horrible, but the Pacers look good. I'm not sure momentum's with them, but what are your thoughts?
The Knicks are just running out of bodies. They don't have any big guys now. Mitchell Robinson came back. Now he's gone. Their starting center is now Isaiah Hartenstein, and he's a banger with some skills, but who comes in off the bench? They actually are going to have to play Patience Achiuwa, who you may remember, a former Miami Heat player was in Toronto and came over in the Anunoby trade. And that's really the big injury that and they've had so many for the Knicks right now. When OG Anunoby went down in game two,
correct.
All of a sudden, they lost a lot of their athleticism. They lost a lot of their versatility. Anunoby is so good defensively. He's about 6'5", but he plays a lot bigger. You can play him at the four, you know, in a pressing concept. He's gone, and it looks like he might have pulled a hamstring, and you know, you just don't come back from that very quickly. They're playing Alec Burks. They're playing Precious Achiuwa. They are not the team that they were. They're playing Deuce McBride, but you know, they played Deuce McBride in winning the first two games at home, so he's got some utility. But I think the Knicks, while impressive and admirable, are running out of bodies, and I can't see them winning the series. They just don't have enough, and they never give up. And this may be, you know, a lot of people will say, oh well, Tibbs has been playing these guys 40 minutes a night, and this is what you get. And I'm not about to argue with them. They didn't develop their squad, but then, you know, Mike Malone only played seven guys in the playoffs last year, and he played a short bench most of the year. So it can be done, but man, and you know, apparently Brunson is also nursing some kind of foot injury. This could go majorly south very quickly for the Knicks. We'll find out in game five whether they have anything left in them. But I bet they're done. They're probably loose.
I really agree with you on that. I think Indiana has the momentum with them. And like you were saying, Brunson has a right foot injury, so he has not recovered from that. I would arrest him game four if that was the case and bring him strong game five.
Well, you know, maybe that would have been smart. And I think that was a terrible game. I didn't watch the whole thing, but
it was bad, Hal.
I tuned in. It was 34-11.
What was this?
Yeah, I think I may go cut the lawn.
It was a G League team, it felt like. The Knicks were. It really did.
A lot of people had said and will certainly say again, you know, if Josh Hart is your power forward, you got big problems. And Josh Hart is a great player to bring off the bench and is versatile, but he can't play the four against even the Pacers. And he certainly can't do it against the Celtics in the next round, if that's who they play. I don't know. They've worked some wonders there in New York. Thibodeau deserves some credit, but he also has to take some of the blame because physically they've fallen apart.
Yeah, I've fallen apart really bad for the Knicks. Pacers with Haliburton. How about the Haliburton guy? He is a young guy. I think this is that can playoff series of this career.
Right. Well, he starts. He started out in Sacramento, you'll remember, and was part of that trade that brought Sabonis to Sacramento. And they had great success as a result of that trade last year. And they're still a playoff team or on the verge. Haliburton, it just so happens, I had on my fantasy league this year. I spent $30 on him out of a $100 budget. And he did not steal the ball like we wanted him to, but he did everything else very well. But interestingly, he was absolutely incredible the first half of the year, scored like he's never scored before, and yes, dished it 12 times and ran the offense and looked spectacular doing it, did not turn the ball over. Then he hurt his hamstring, and he has not scored in the same way since that time, and we're talking 2.5 months. But I think in game two of the Knicks series, Rick Carlisle went to him and said, "You need to score more," and he has obviously taken the ball to the basket more aggressively and scored 25 plus in each of the games. I guess he didn't score 25 plus in the last game because he sat down pretty early, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the game was well in hand.
But he's an extraordinary player to watch. And what a backcourt combination, or I should say a 1-2 punch, because they don't play together. TJ McConnell and Haliburton. Haliburton is 6'5" and lithe and athletic. And actually, TJ McConnell is also athletic. He's a little spark plug. He's only about 5'10", though. But you can't get the ball off him. He goes into the lane and makes baskets, but he's an assist machine. Fantasy basketball people will know that this guy, even though he'll get 15 to 20 minutes a game, he will get you 6 assists. He might not score, but he will get you assists. He will steal it. And now he's actually scoring, and he's really he's all that the Knicks can handle. They can't contain either of the point guards on the Pacers. They've also had some injuries. They had a lot of shooting guards on this team. They traded away Chris Duarte. They traded away Buddy Hield. They could have really used Buddy Hield in the first two games of this series. And I guess this fellow Mathurin, who's a very good player, a shooting guard, is hurt and is not playing. So they're playing some guys I don't know. This dude Shepard, I've never heard of.
How about McConnell? Have you heard of him?
TJ McConnell?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, TJ. We just talked about TJ. He's playing a ton. But the there's a guy named Shepard who's also playing for them. And Andrew Nembhard, he won game three for them with that heave at the buzzer to win by three. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that the Knicks nearly won game three. It took that heave from an unknown person who surely Rick Carlisle did not want shooting the ball to win that game. Here we are talking about how the Knicks are dead, that maybe they just took the game off yesterday and we'll see a different team. But I just don't see the physical body parts being available to Tom Thibodeau to win the series.
Games 5 will be tomorrow, so we'll see if the Knicks can turn things around. Howe has some doubts. He does not want your team wants to fade the Knicks. You want Indiana, don't you?
I don't really care. I mean, I think actually the Pacers have given the Celtics all they can handle this year because they run and score, and that sort of that baits the Celtics into playing that kind of game. And I'm not sure they're necessarily that great when they're up and down the floor. They're a better defensive team. We want to lock them down. The Knicks, if they were healthy, are a difficult team to play, and I wouldn't want to play them. But this is not that Knicks team.
Not the Knicks of a couple of weeks ago, actually.
Yeah, so. I mean, 3 weeks ago. Even then, this is a team that is playing without Julius Randle. I mean, he's arguably their best player. He went and got shoulder surgery in February. Yeah. And, basically they knew they would miss him for the whole season. Anunoby came back from an injury of his own and was spectacular, and no one paid that much of attention because they were playing so well. But, they're down a lot of bodies.
That's not good. And you need bodies in the NBA playoffs.
You do. So. In the playoffs, you do.
Except the Nuggets.
The Nuggets have – they've seen the error of their ways. They don't have a backup center, per se, but they've been shuffling people through this lineup way more than they did last year when they won the title.
Yeah, quite something. Let's switch gears to the Premier League. A huge – not a huge win, but, beating Man United is not that – a hard thing to do these days. Arsenal beat Man United 1-0 with a goal by Leandro Trossard in the 20th minute. That was just one goal, only one match on Mother's Day. And on Saturday, Man City beat Fulham 4-0. It all comes down to tomorrow. And that is Hal's team, Tottenham. The world is pulling for Tottenham. Arsenal fans are pulling for Tottenham, which is unheard of. Even Kai Havertz is pushing for Arsenal. Tottenham.
I know. Kai Havertz was quoted as saying he's a huge Tottenham fan as of today because they're playing Man City on Tuesday. We're taping on a Monday.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right. There's today, I mean, here's if you're asking for the Tottenham mindset on this game, Tottenham is not mathematically ruled out of still getting a Champions League place. They're in fifth, as you can see, behind 4 points behind Villa. Villa plays Liverpool in an hour. And if they lose that game, which they well could, Tottenham can still get into the Champions League if they win on the weekend and Villa does not. So normally we'd say, oh my goodness, Tottenham has been terrible this spring. They've actually, I think since January 1, there's seven wins, six losses, and three ties. That's pretty average. And they were much, much better in the first half of the season. They seem to be coming apart a little bit. Well, they won on Saturday. They beat Burnley at home. Nothing spectacular, but we had lost four in a row. So normally we'd say, oh, Manchester City is going to kill them. Well, a couple of things. One, Manchester has to come and play at Tottenham. But two, for whatever reason, across at least three coaches, Pochettino and Conte and now Ange Postecoglou, Tottenham has played very, very well against Manchester City. I haven't had anybody really explain to me why that is, but they do. And they beat them to go to the semifinals the finals of the Champions League 3 years ago. They've beaten them at least once in each of the two seasons, the last two seasons. I can't remember I think they got a point off them at Manchester City earlier this season. I'll have to look that up.
Let me look that up right now.
Yeah, this game is important. Not a mail-in. It's not a foregone conclusion in
this
any
way.
This
is going to be a 4-0 Man City match. I don't think that would be the case.
No. I mean, did Man City beat them 4-0 at home?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I'm telling you, they play them very well. I didn't come prepared to like detail each game, but anyone who follows the Premier League will tell you that no one can understand why, but Tottenham has played very well against Manchester City. So, it's going to be a fascinating match. I'm going to be rooting hard for Tottenham, even though it might be to Arsenal's advantage. I mean, because we have our own goals. And it would be very nice to go into the weekend, the final weekend, knowing that if we win and Villa loses, we are through the Champions League. So that would be great. And so it's worth Tottenham's while to win the game, even if it helps Arsenal in the long run.
And keep in mind, Liverpool has nothing to play for today and this weekend. They're out of the title race as soon as Man City beat 4-0. So Liverpool has nothing to play for. Right. I guess just pray, for pride for Jurgen Klinsmann. They're going to be third place no matter what.
Exactly. But you said it. I think that Klinsmann is not has already taken a bit of heat for sort of having another team sort of not quit on him, but lose their focus late in the season when he is a lame duck manager. This happened at Mainz when he left. It happened at Dortmund when he left. And now it's happened again with Liverpool. I'm sure he wants to win his final games, including today's at Villa. So I'd be sort of surprised if Villa wins that game because Liverpool is a very talented side and they can run out some young players who can still play. And Villa's also got the pressure on them. And Villa is also coming off a week of international competition. So they're not particularly well rested. They've been all over the place playing in Europe. And that's a very difficult thing for a team like Villa. They've had a great season, but they're not built like Manchester City and Arsenal are. They're not built with essentially a whole shadow team of expensive top flight pros to come in and sub in whenever needed. Villa's, put it together with chewing gum and baling wire, and they don't have the numbers, so they're stretching it. Do we have any odds on the Liverpool match? I'd be interested to know.
I have no idea, but I do have the past matchups between Man City and Tottenham. So Tottenham has beaten Man City a year ago, February 5th, 1-0. So that gives me some optimism, Hal.
Who won? I can't read. That's not big enough.
Okay, let me score up a little bit more. Man City beat Tottenham 1-0. Was it
3-3, 1-0?
Yeah,
and then Tottenham won 3-2. I mean, look at those matches. Would you have guessed that in a million years?
I would not. I would thought it would be like 4-0 each time.
So they're 2 wins, 2 losses, and a tie in the last 5 matches against them. Okay? That ain't bad.
That's not bad.
Against the best team
in
Europe.
There's optimism for everyone. Yeah.
It's false optimism in a way. I don't think that they're as good as Man City. I'm not deluding myself, but I'm telling you, for whatever reason, they play this team very tough. So I'll be, I can't wait to see what happens.
All Tottenham needs to do is a draw. At least a draw.
At home.
Which is doable.
Well, they score goals and they aren't afraid of this team, obviously. And that's not just this year, but that has been historically. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. They'll probably get beat 6-0 now that I've opened my big fat mouth.
We'll see. Hopefully not. But guess what? The teams that got relegated this season so far, because Luton still has a shot, are the same teams that got promoted last year.
Yeah,
Luton could still make it, could still be safe, but they got to score tons of goals in the last match, I believe.
I thought that if they win and, well, let me look at that table right there.
The goal difference is the issue.
But what about the points? They're
Luton has 26, so Nottingham has to lose, I believe.
Oh, so if Forest loses and they win, they still can't make up a 12 goal differential.
Precisely, which is a lot of goals for Luton.
Well, I thought Luton was great this year, and they won and tied a bunch of games in the last 5 minutes of matches, and it was very entertaining. And that's a great old ground that they have occupied and adapted. So I mean, good on them. They showed well. But I do feel that I want Nottingham Forest in the Premiership. And here's why. One is
Gio Reyna.
Well, Gio Reyna for sure.
If he stays.
But again, for all the Gio Reyna lovers and all the Greg Berhalter haters, this guy's not playing. Why not? If he's so freaking good, why isn't he getting minutes for arguably a bottom three side in the English league? But let's leave that. They got penalized for spending money a little bit too wantonly in trying to stay up. But it's more a sentimental thing. I mean, I don't know whether modern fans have a sense for it. I'm 59 years old. I started watching the Premiership in the 70s.
Wow.
And Nottingham Forest were twice European champions in the 1970s.
Right. I heard
they were the best team in England and the best team in Europe from 1977 to 81. Wow. And they were always a first division side when I was started going to England a lot in the 80s, going to school there and blah, blah, blah. But so I want Forest in the top flight. That's a big club with a great fan base. And I think they're close. That team is talented. They've got some pieces. So I think if they can stay up, which it looks like they will.
Yeah, I mean, they can lose.
And ill-advisedly again this summer, they'll be a lot better.
Yeah, good performance. Interesting enough, I think it's probably the first time I ever see how the teams that got promoted get relegated like the following year. So I don't think I've ever seen that.
There's always one who comes up and goes straight back down. It was Fulham several times, in the late teens. And I think they did it 3 times before they stayed up, and now they're a pretty reliable mid-table side. It's hard. I mean, we talked about it this year. I mean, Wolves have stumbled because they have just been decimated by injuries. But every team above the Wolves, Palace, Bournemouth, look at Bournemouth, 11th place. I mean, they played amazingly. Brighton has been good. These are all really good teams. And when the 12th or 13th place team in a table is that good, man, it is really hard for the marginal teams to survive. It's also made things a little more volatile. I think it's one of the things that really drives me crazy about Premiership punditry is the finality with which people talk about, this season's over. Man City's got to win. Or Arsenal has wrapped it up. You don't know what's going to happen because someone's going to have to go to Crystal Palace and they could be beaten there. Someone's going to have to go to Tottenham and they could be beaten there. When a league is strong top to bottom and it's not like the La Liga is with Real and Barcelona, you got a bunch of guppies. And yeah, those games are predictable. These are not. It's what makes the English league the incredible product that it is.
The best league, I think, in Europe. I know it's debatable. I know it is.
Actually, they aren't, you know, in terms of there's a coefficient that is jiggered and run through the algorithm machine every year to decide who gets more Champions League places than others. And for a while there, four was the most you could have. And England always had four, and La Liga always had four, and the Bundesliga didn't always have four. Well, the Bundesliga has two teams in the finals of the Champions League, and they have Bayer Leverkusen, who looks like they're going to win the Europa Cup. So they are the ones that are going to get the extra Champions League place, the fifth place. I don't know why they need a fifth place. I don't know why any league deserves a fifth place, but you know, it's sort of like college basketball, where you know we're changing the rules basically to satisfy, you know, the fifth or sixth or seventh best team in the Big Ten. Oh, we got to get them in the tournament. Why? They're not going to win. I mean, they're going to make money. But I mean, I you know, that drives me crazy. Why are we changing rules to benefit these big teams over and over again so they don't leave and form a super league? Maybe that's the reason.
That might be. And I guess what the format for the Champions League will be super league type of format. So it's going to be interesting. Which I have to read into it again because I still don't understand how it works.
Don't you dare ask me. I don't know how.
I think it's like the Premier League. I don't know. Anyways, I'm gonna stay away from that right now.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're almost out of time. We could talk about Bayern Leverkusen. We could talk about obviously Pulisic last game of the season. I think he scored two goals. So huge weekend, but we have no time left. We got predictions for tonight. Celtics at Cleveland, game four. Who do you have for that?
Go Celtics.
I think so too. I think they're going to take this series. OKC Mavericks. Mavericks are up 2-1. I did not expect that.
This is really fun. That's the game of the night. Even if the Celtics don't win, I don't worry about them not winning that series. But OKC, if they lose on the road, now they're down 3-1. I think we talked about this, Santi. They've been great this season, but they're young. First real playoff series they've been in. They swept the Pelicans in the first one. Bang, they're playing Dallas, and Dallas is freaking good. And the front court on that team is completely different than it was in December. They picked up Gafford, and they picked up PJ Washington, and they picked up Derek Jones from the Bulls. They can play defense, and basically they have three completely defensive players on the front line, and then Kyrie and Luka in the backcourt. And if those guys produce, they're very hard to play.
They're dangerous.
Very.
We'll see what happens. Well, there you have it. NBA playoffs, Premier League, all in one show. Hal, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about your book and everything?
On that URL right there below my chin. The audiobook for Generation Zero is out.
No way.
So I would encourage everyone to go buy it and pop it in your phone and listen to it in the car.
Who narrates it? You or someone else?
No, actually, it's because the sales were so good, Amazon let me participate or invited me to participate in this beta testing of their AI reader program. And this is fun. I chose a woman's voice, a British female narrates it.
She sounds,
it's my homage to Rebecca Lowe. It sounds honestly I
like her high pitch.
It sounds really good, and because it's soccer, you know, the British accent works well with it. And true. Honestly, I listened to an American guy read a big chunk of it, and I was like, this is okay. I'm gonna try this British woman. And I was like, oh yeah, this is the one. It's also just a complete fun thing to like hear your own book read back to you by some British chick. It's great.
Interesting. Now with the world of AI and Amazon, check it out at genzero.halphillips.net. And guess what? A lot of people listen to audiobooks, by the way.
You do or you don't?
I do, but they're very popular amongst a lot of people. They do that a lot. They
listen. Yeah, you know, if you have a commute, I don't have a commute. I work from my home mainly. But if you have a commute, they're a great way to spend that time. On trips, they're the best. So, and there's nothing better than this. Trust me. Generation Zero.
Awesome. You can check us out at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 for Twitter and IG. Also get our app for iOS, The Sports Cast. Well, Hal, thanks a lot for coming on. We'll talk about the Champions League finale next week, I guess. because that's a big game. All Real Madrid versus Dortmund.
Is that next week or I 2 weeks from
now? It is, or in 2 weeks from now. It might be 2 weeks. I think it's like May 26th or something like that.
The events just keep coming. May is the best between basketball and hockey and the end of the soccer season. You can't beat it.
And then Copa America begins. Thanks a lot, Hal, for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure, Santi.
This was your